I want to keep you moving about. I want to keep you mobile and pain-free as much as possible. Well, I say I want to do that. Yes, I do. I have no power, though, but Alex Newton does, the Beast and Chiropractors here. Hello.
Good afternoon, Alan.
Good to see you. There's a few things we can talk about. One is desks, maybe even chairs, because you had a moment when you sat on the studio chair there. Also, we've got holidays coming up and the omnipresent problem for a lot of people of knees that don't quite work. So chairs is an interesting one. You sat down on the chair and you were sort of, oh, there's no arms on this. And it's a blooming thing here. Some of our chairs have got arms, some haven't. They're all different types. Some have got a squirty bulb thing that you can push and you get lumbar support. Some haven't. The levers all do different things. So sometimes I sit down, I'm going to raise the chair and I pull the lever and, in fact, it goes backwards. Chairs are a nightmare, aren't they?
Can be quite dangerous, yeah. Yes. But we look at a few very simple principles when we recommend chairs, and especially if you're hot desking, which a lot of people do now, that they don't always have a fixed chair or a fixed desk to go to. But we normally do recommend that you have arms on your chair, particularly if you're up and down frequently through your day, so that when you push up from the chair, you're pushing up and your spine is straight and your body's square. If you push up from the desk, you tend to twist when you get up from the desk. So that's why we tend to usually recommend that you have arms. The theory there is that, my chair doesn't fit underneath the desk, but actually if the arms are situated in the correct way, then possibly the arms will be either higher than the desk or you are actually far enough away from the desk that the arms don't conflict with the edge of the desk. But the most important thing is to set the height of the chair, and that's where we start. If you're hot desking and it's not your chair, is my chair the right height? And if you sit on the back of the chair and roll your hips forward, so you're sort of sitting on your haunches, which are like the bones in your bottom, as if you were sitting on a horse, and your feet are flat on the floor and you can feel the floor pushing up against you, then your knees should be slightly lower than your hips.
I think I'm about right.
You're about right there. Yeah. You're quite good there. Yeah. Okay. And that will keep, if your spine, if your pelvis is rolled forward and you're sitting on your haunches, you've got that hollowness in the small of your back.
Oh, that's a good thing to go for, is it?
That's where your spine is in a neutral position. It's in the optimum position, because don't forget, if you're sitting, it's the maximum amount of pressure through your discs. Right. So we want to minimise that by rolling the hips forward, returning the arch into the small of your back there. And that's why the little lumbar support, the little puffy thing, as you call it, can be quite useful there. So usually we suggest that you put that up to a maximum and then soften it off so you don't feel like it's pushing you off the chair. So there's just an awareness of that in the area. And then making sure that your screen height, not only is your screen in front of you... But the height of your eyes is in line with the top of the screen, and then you are making sure that nice S-shaped curve of the spine continues from the base of the spine up rounded through the shoulders, and then the hollowness goes back into the neck there, so that you don't get neck and shoulder issues too.
So a few thoughts which you can put into practice wherever you work, maybe even at home. You know, people don't necessarily have to be thinking about this in terms of their workplace, but in their study or where they sit and write letters or play on the computer.
Yes, we have to be more mindful about our posture now, because a lot of people not just are reading newspapers, but perhaps even accessing news on iPads or laptops and things like that. But particularly iPads are very popular, and we tend to sort of sit there on the settee, and our head, if you look at people's postures or on you're looking at your phone, the heads are right down, the chin's almost on their chest. Now, ideally, I'd say hold it up, you know, chest height, and hold it up in front of you, and think, oh, well, I can't do that because that's going to make my arms ache. Good, because that means you'll then change your posture. So think about what you're doing. Either put your iPad or phone on some cushions on your lap so that your head isn't so far flexed forward, because that's going to stretch those muscles in the top of your shoulders and up into the neck, and often will lead to headaches and things like that.
So chairs have a lot of variation built into them, office chairs, and people might buy, you know, an adjustable chair for use at home in certain circumstances. Desks don't tend to, though, do they? Desks just come... Is there an international standard of desk height?
I don't know that question, the answer to that question. I mean, I think they're pretty standard height.
Yeah.
And ideally, if you're Mr. or Mrs. Average, then you're going to be fine. But people who are extremely tall or... of less stature in height, then they are going to perhaps struggle. So maybe there's a lot more of these mobile desks where you can actually stand up to work now. They seem to be quite popular at the moment. And they're something that actually I've seen that a number of our patients have them, and they actually lift them up and down through the day. So sometimes they're standing and sometimes they're sitting. So making sure that the desk height is correct for you. And if you're going to be at that particular desk long term and you're very, very tall, then maybe have some extra feet put underneath. If you've got a desk at home that's too low, maybe just putting books or blocks or bricks underneath the desk to raise the desk to a better height. Just putting slightly higher bricks or books at the back of the desk just to increase the slope of the desk just by about 5 degrees can make a huge difference on the base of the skull and stop pulling on the base of the neck, again leading to headaches and things. So your coffee cup tends to stay on, but your pens roll off.
So the pen should be rolling towards the back, you mean?
No, rolling towards you.
Oh, I see.
But if you put the pen the other way around, it's okay. If you put it long ways on, you're okay. It doesn't roll off.
So you jack up the back leg just a little tiny bit, five degrees.
It makes a big difference.
And on the subject of seating positions, Chris emails and says, I'm thinking of buying a kneeling-type office stool as ever, though the quality ones do seem expensive. Are they actually worthwhile or a bit of a mixed bag posture-wise?
They were very vogue a number of years ago. The general consensus that if you haven't got bad knees, you're okay. I think if sometimes sitting half kneeling, half foot forward tends to be the general norm, that so you've only got pressure on one knee at a time. But if you've got knee problems, then it's a big no-no. There's little wedges or cushions that sort of push you forward. You've got one in the office here somewhere. I've seen it around because I think I brought it for Verity one time. But a very simple wedged cushion on a basic chair would be much probably better investment. It's not saying don't get an office a kneeling chair, but just be cautious because the pressure on the knees can be quite substantial.
Okay, Chris, a wedge cushion, and it did, as I recall, look like a wedge of cheese. It was that sort of thing, but a big wedge of cheese and not made of cheese.
No.
In fact, that was probably a very bad analogy. We'll be back to Alex Newton in a few minutes from now on BBC Radio Nottingham. Tuesday afternoon, coming up to 3:20, Alex Newton, the Beeston chiropractor, here with some good thoughts on keeping yourself pain-free, reducing joint ache, making sure you're in fine fettle for your holidays. Oh, that's the thing, isn't it? We're coming up to holidays now. What's the problem there? Is it people hurt themselves before they go? Well, carrying cases is a thing, isn't it? Luggage, throwing that in and out of the car.
The thing is with holidays is we try to do something that we don't normally do when we're at work. So if we've got quite a sedentary job, maybe we want to be a bit more active, and vice versa. We've got an active job, we maybe want to relax more. But you have to realise that the body's not quite used to that. So be very mindful when you are away that you are maintaining a similar sort of lifestyle that you do at home. So don't sort of, if you've got an office job, then start doing lots and lots of new sports, because you've got the potential of causing some injuries to muscles and joints that you are not used to having that type of stress on them. So be quite mindful, make sure that you have a slow transition into increased activity, or if you are more sedentary because you have an active lifestyle, try and do something, perhaps walk every day or something, so that you haven't gone from one extreme to the other, because this is when we find that people tend to have problems, that they're very active and then all of a sudden they lie on a sunbed for a week and wonder why they have back problems. But going back to things like suitcases and things, that's the notorious one. I just lifted the suitcase. So maybe try and pack the suitcase at the bottom of the stairs rather than having to carry a heavy suitcase down the stairs. And then you've only got to slide it into the car, but obviously keeping it close to you, and don't twist, but bend your knees and keep the suitcase close to you when you lift it into the car. Getting it over the lip into the boot is often where people tend to struggle. But maybe two smaller suitcases if you know that is going to be a problem for you. Some smaller bags that can all sort of stack together more neatly in the car would be better.
That's a good thought. It will depend on if you're flying somewhere, quite what the airline's rules are. There's sometimes a number of bags and a weight that you have to work out. Yeah. But smaller bags is clever, I think. And you'll love me for this. There's nothing to do with holidays. This is gardening. Last year, I did buy bags of compost, which were a huge bargain, but they were they were huge, yes. And I literally hurt myself moving one of those. This year I've gone to the other extreme. I found in a high street hardware store, they were selling 15 1.5-litre bags of compost, and they weren't that much more expensive. So I bought 10 of those instead of 3 50-litre bags. Yes. And that's fantastic because you can carry two of them around, one in each arm. There's no great weight.
No. Yeah. Or if you do end up with one of those large bags in the back of your car, maybe take your wheelbarrow to the car and empty half the bag out first before you take it out of the car.
Into the compost, do it in
stages. So think small, and if you haven't got someone there to help you, and same with your suitcases and bags and things.
Yeah.
It's the bending and lifting and twisting. So trying to get your suitcase off the conveyor belt. Mm. Everybody's always a bit of a rush, and it's scooting around, and you can't quite get there. So you sort of sneak in sideways between somebody else stood there, and then you lift and twist it, and without thinking. Other than just to get your bag off there, and that's when people tend to have major problems.
Right, so desks, holidays, chairs, gardening, all these things that are dangerous if you don't think about what you're doing.
Dangerous time of year.
If a twinge should occur wherever, what is the first aid that you would recommend? Is it cold or heat to start with?
We normally recommend cold to reduce the inflammation. And try and find a comfortable position. Apply the ice pack, as we said before, making sure you've got one of those jelly packs or some ice wrapped in a tea towel so it's a dry cold applied to the area. And just leave that on for about 15 minutes at a time, no longer than that. Don't leave it on till it's all melted because you could get frostbite. And what we need to do is create a pump type of atmosphere around the tissue. So if you take the ice pack off after about 15 minutes, you get the area engorged with blood, which increases blood flow to the area to reduce inflammation and obviously bring lots of healing products there. So regular use of the 15 minutes with the ice pack is going to help. So 15 minutes on, an hour off, 15 minutes on, an hour off. Through the day.
So I've got the cold can reduce inflammation. I hadn't thought about when you take the cold away so the blood suddenly starts to flow again.
The little hot aches in there, that's when all the blood's gone in there, and that's bringing you healing products there to help reduce the inflammation. So, but leaving it on too long can be a problem because then you can burn the skin and then you've got a different problem as well to deal with. Finding comfortable positions, keeping moving slightly. Okay, and sort of gentle stretches, lying down, rocking your back from side to side, or bringing knees up to your chest, trying to keep the area moving, stop it going into spasm would be really helpful. Avoid hot baths, that tends to engorge the area with blood, and then you can it might feel nice at the time, but when you get out and start to cool down, you tend to get muscle spasms, and that also increases the inflammation around the area. Obviously, if you need to take paracetamol or Nurofen, small doses of that, if you're allowed to, depending on what medication you're taking, that's really helpful. And after usually 2 or 3 days, you should find that things start to get back to normal again. But however, if they don't, you need to contact someone that will be able to help you and advise you accordingly. But ideally, don't do it to start with.
Yeah, avoidance is much better than a cure, absolutely. Alex Newton, thank you very much indeed. Beeston Chiropractor, Alex Newton for you.